Distinguished delegates to the 150th session of the FAO Council, Excellencies, ambassadors and permanent representatives to the FAO, staff of the FAO, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, members of the press, and all other protocols duly and respectfully observed. Good afternoon. First and foremost, I bring you special greetings from our President, His Excellency, Sheikh Professor Alhaji Dr. Yaya J.J. Jammeh, who had planned on being here himself to receive this award. I'm sure for some of you who know, our President is a former President as well. But due to unavoidable circumstances and other exigencies of the presidency, of course, he could not be here with you today. But however, he extends his appreciation to the FAO for the much valued recognition, which would challenge and encourage him to even do more, like the Secretary General has pleaded, to address hunger and undernourishment in the Gambia. Therefore, he's directed that myself and my cabinet colleagues here present, the Honorable Minister of Foreign Affairs, the Honorable Minister of Agriculture, the Permanent Secretary of Agriculture, as well as our ambassador accredited to the FAO, stand in his stead here and receive this award on his behalf. Mr. Secretary General, Excellencies, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, under His Excellency's leadership, which is a visionary one indeed, President Jammeh has always put and continues to put food security and nutrition at the top of his government's development agenda. And this award I'm receiving today, me and my colleagues, on his behalf, and of course on behalf of the entire Gambian people, not forgetting our hardworking farmers in the Gambia, is a clear indication of the progress and indeed of the achievements as well we have realized as a nation over the years. Statistics have of course shown that in the 1990s, the percentage of Gambian population classified as undernourished was about 13.3%. This figure was gradually reduced, however, over the years, and today it stands at 6%. Of course, when compared with the trend in our subregion, that is the West African Sahel, and the global trend, it is very clear that the Gambia has made major strides, particularly in reducing undernourishment. We attribute this success, of course, to a sustained political commitment at the highest level, and will at that, which is a prerequisite for hunger eradication as well as the reduction of undernourishment. Over the last 20 years, President Jammeh has continuously sensitized the Gambian population through various pronouncements, of course, Back to the Land, Operation Feed Yourself, Operation Feed the Nation, Grow What You Eat and Eat What You Grow, and today he has Vision 2016. That is, by the end of 2015 this year, towards 2016, we should be self-sufficient, at least in the basic staple food we have in the Gambia, which is rice. Of course, I'm sure some of you know also in the Gambia that the main producers of rice are women. It's a woman's crop. Now, beyond the pronouncements, he didn't stop there. He himself, as I said, is a farmer president. He has big tracts of land that he's cultivating so that he leads by example. These have all contributed, for sure, to the positive changes in attitude in the agricultural landscape in the Gambia and in our food security drive as well as a nation. Mr. Director General, Excellencies, trend analysis, of course, has proven that there has been an increase in cereal production as well as land under cultivation from 1990 to 2014. Of course, these include increased production of early millet, paddy rice, late millet, and maize, which are widely consumed in the Gambia, and which actually contribute about 90% of the population's caloric supply and intake. Overall food production in the Gambia has increased significantly in the country, culminating in the reduction of undernourishment and enhancement of food security as well. Livestock population has also increased significantly over the years, particularly small ruminants and cattle. The rearing of livestock and poultry has been an important food security measure, no doubt, and strategy of the Gambia government. The production of free drugs through government vaccination programs, surveillance of cross-border outbreaks of disease, increased number of law enforcement officers as well that are curbing cattle rustling, capacity building programs, and indeed training of farmers, private sector operators in how to make quality feed provision of affordable and most often free feed supplements as well, have all contributed to the increase in livestock numbers, which has in turn resulted, of course, in increased animal protein intake in the population. The consumption of fruits and vegetables is essential for improving diet and overall nutritional status as well. A marked increase, for example, in commercial horticulture through public-private partnership, coupled with establishment of hundreds of village garden schemes all over the country, has led to an increase in the supply of available and affordable fruits and vegetables. The Department of Agriculture, in partnership with development partners such as FAO, for example, IFAD, ADB, IDB, among others, has supervised the distribution of free horticultural inputs to women cooperative gardens over the years. Donor-funded projects as well have also been established with solar-powered boreholes, particularly garden projects, with overhead tanks for year-round production of vegetables. President Jammeh's latest initiative, as I said earlier, is Vision 2016, which aims to make the Gambia a food self-sufficient nation by 2016, and of course a net exporter as well by 2018. This program will ensure that we eliminate undernourishment in the Gambia for good. This laudable and widespread acclaimed landmark initiative is presently on track with a clear roadmap aimed at producing 315,000 metric tons of milled rice to feed the population of about 2 million. Your Excellency, Mr. Director General of the FAO, you may recall the audience I'm sure you had with our President in the sidelines of the AU summit in Malabo sometime this year. At that meeting, President Jammeh introduced to you his Vision 2016 initiative, which has five components, summarized as follows. Component one is land development. This will constitute development of 72,581 hectares of swamp and upland rice production, as well as for both tidal, of course, as well as pump irrigation. Component two deals with production. This component will focus on ensuring that productive inputs, such as machinery and equipment, necessary technologies, extension services, and labor are adequately available on time and affordable to the rice producers in order to improve production as well as productivity as well. Component three deals with post-production handling activities. This component will focus mainly on harvesting, processing, for value-adding, storage, and marketing. Component four will deal with institutional development and strengthening. This component will involve capacity building and strengthening, particularly of non-state actors in the rice value chain, including input suppliers, for example, and service providers, as well as quasi-government institutions involved in rice value-adding chain and development. And of course, component five, being the last component, deals with project coordination, monitoring, and evaluation, which is very critical in the process. It will be crucial to ensure efficient and effective implementation of the project, particularly Vision 2016, to ensure that it will provide much-needed evidence for better decision-making and planning that will generally improve implementation efficiency. Therefore, Mr. Director General, a successful realization of this vision is bound to further elevate our goal of totally eliminating hunger, food insecurity, malnutrition, and, of course, extreme poverty. This is a huge challenge. But His Excellency the President is confident that with your support and the likes of other development partners, of course, we shall not go it alone. The constraints are numerous and complex, there's no doubt about that, but equally, they are not insurmountable. We strongly believe that our continent, our continued commitment, and your solidarity with us will definitely get us there. Therefore, in conclusion, as we continue ongoing work on the post-2015 Sustainable Development Goals, with special emphasis of course, on sustainable development goal number two, end hunger, achieve food security, and improve nutrition and promote sustainable agriculture. We will continue to solicit your support and partnership, particularly in sustainably replicating and scaling up the successes we were able to achieve under the MDGs. Together, His Excellency the President is confident that we will realize the target that we set for ourselves within a shorter period than it took us, of course, with regards to the MDGs. Mr. Director General, let me end this statement by reminding all of us here present of that poignant statement that was delivered while welcoming His Holiness Pope Francis to the just concluded Second International Conference on Nutrition that you delivered. And I quote, "Solidarity in eradicating hunger and extreme poverty and making food and nutrition security a reality for all are fundamental pillars of sustainable future. We want that future which we want, regardless of race, of course, of religion, as well as of resource levels. Once again, His Excellency the President appreciates your recognition of the Gambia's efforts towards food self-sufficiency and addressing hunger and malnutrition, and he commends and congratulates you for organizing and hosting this auspicious event. May the Almighty God continue to bless all of us. Thank you very much. May God bless.
Muito boa tarde a todos, a todas. É uma grande alegria para o Brasil estar hoje nesse encontro, nessa atividade. Gostaria de cumprimentar o diretor-geral da FAO, nosso querido Graziano da Silva, cumprimentar os representantes dos 13 países dos 12 países que, junto com o Brasil, estão sendo agraciados por esse prêmio, demais autoridades presentes. Representa muito para o Brasil, representa muito poder dizer em voz alta, diante dos senhores, diante da FAO, que já nasceu no Brasil a primeira geração de crianças livre da fome e na escola. O Brasil era conhecido no mundo por duas principais características. A primeira, ser um grande produtor de alimentos. E a segunda, ser um dos países mais desiguais do mundo e um país marcado pela fome. Conviviam riqueza e miséria, abundância e privações. A fome no Brasil nunca decorreu da falta de solo arável, nunca decorreu de falta de clima propício ou de falta de conhecimento ou de domínio da produção. A fome era resultado de séculos de um modelo de exclusão, de um modelo econômico que beneficiava poucos. Começamos a mudar esse quadro quando o presidente Lula colocou o combate à fome no centro da agenda do país. A fome zero era a nossa principal meta. A fome e a pobreza não são fenômenos naturais. E a fome não será naturalmente debelada como resultado do crescimento econômico. Há que haver prioridade, há que haver orçamento, há que haver decisão política para garantir que a gente altere e transforme essa situação. Os países podem ter diferentes estratégias adequadas às suas diferentes características, mas não lograrão êxito no combate à fome e à miséria se não houver liderança e determinação de seus governantes, se não houver decisão política para transformar essa realidade. Este ponto deve ser enfatizado para valorizar, primeiro, a coragem do presidente Lula em assumir, em 2003, o desafio de acabar com a fome e a miséria. E para registrar também, nessa ocasião, a importância e o papel do Graziano da Silva, hoje diretor-geral da FAO, que deu início a esse trabalho, ministro do governo do presidente Lula. Obrigado, Graziano. Parabéns a você também. Recebemos essa premiação com muito orgulho. De 2002 a 2013, reduzimos em 82% o número de brasileiros em insegurança alimentar. Saímos de 10% da população e hoje estamos em 1,7%. No caso do Brasil, três grandes eixos orientaram o nosso trabalho. Os que tiverem interesse em conhecer um pouco a estratégia brasileira, nós temos um relatório em inglês que foi produzido resumindo a experiência brasileira que está aqui à disposição dos senhores, um relatório feito em conjunto com a FAO Brasil. No caso do Brasil, são três grandes eixos, como eu dizia, que orientaram o nosso trabalho e respondem por grande parte do sucesso no combate à fome. O primeiro, o fortalecimento da agricultura familiar para aumentar a disponibilidade de alimentos através de políticas de crédito, de seguro agrícola e de compras públicas. Nós aumentamos, de 2002 para cá, em mais de 10% a quantidade, né, de calorias disponível para os brasileiros, tanto a qualidade de alimentos disponível dentro do Brasil. Segundo, o aumento da renda dos mais pobres com algumas políticas como a valorização do salário mínimo em mais de 72% acima da inflação, a geração de mais de 20 milhões, quase 21 milhões de empregos formalizados, portanto, empregos construídos dentro de uma rede de proteção, e o Bolsa Família, talvez o programa mais conhecido, que é um programa de transferência de renda condicionado a que as famílias garantam que as suas crianças tenham acompanhamento médico regular a cada 6 meses e tenham frequência regular à escola. Hoje são 14 milhões de famílias no Bolsa Família, 50 milhões de brasileiros. Um em cada 4 brasileiros recebe o Bolsa Família. E a terceira grande estratégia envolveu políticas de acesso à alimentação fora de casa, e, em especial, eu destaco a merenda escolar. No Brasil, hoje, são 43 milhões de crianças alimentadas diariamente, com pelo menos uma refeição por dia. 43 milhões de crianças alimentadas a cada dia, de segunda a sexta-feira. Isso também fez muita diferença, principalmente na desnutrição infantil. Os resultados foram muito além dos nossos maiores sonhos. 11 anos depois de começar essa estratégia, podemos comprovar os impactos diretos do Bolsa Família, por exemplo, na redução em 58% da mortalidade infantil causada por desnutrição. Em 46% da redução da mortalidade infantil causada por diarreia. Comprovado com dados das crianças do Bolsa Família que são acompanhados. Portanto, isso não é uma amostra estatística. Isso são dados comprovados criança a criança. São dados e estatísticas robustas que comprovam que estavam errados os que achavam que não devíamos transferir dinheiro diretamente às famílias, mas sim doar alimentos em espécie. O Bolsa Família é a maior prova de que os mais pobres sabem gastar e gastam principalmente com as suas crianças. No caso do Brasil, também, o Bolsa Família é uma atribuição, o cartão, né, o chefe da família que recebe o cartão é a mulher, e isso é uma garantia, uma tecnologia social que garante que as crianças sejam as mais beneficiadas, já que a prioridade número 1 das mães são os filhos, a número 2 são os filhos, a número 3 são os filhos, a número 4, a 5, a 6. Então, acho que essa é uma das questões mais importantes a valorizar na nossa política, é a mulher, né, ser a chefe que conduz a política do Bolsa Família. A defesa da tutela sobre os mais pobres tem origem, infelizmente, daqueles que não defendem que se passe o dinheiro em cash, no preconceito ou no interesse em manter a dominação e a dependência dessas famílias. Também merecem destaque os resultados do acompanhamento do Bolsa Família num painel longitudinal que nós fizemos com uma corte, com uma amostra estatística de 360 mil crianças. Acompanhamos 360 mil crianças, todas essas, as mesmas crianças, por 5 anos, e hoje comprovamos uma redução no déficit de altura, portanto, na desnutrição crônica, o déficit de altura talvez seja o lado que revela, a baixa estatura, que revela que essa criança se desenvolveu mal. Seus ossinhos, seu coração, sua mente, seu corpo. O déficit de altura nessas crianças caiu em mais de 51%. As nossas crianças estão mais altas, mais fortes. As consultas pré-natal aumentaram no Brasil em 50%. O aleitamento materno nas crianças do Bolsa Família, esse aleitamento materno exclusivo também aumentou. Temos certeza que estamos no caminho certo. Sabemos que avançamos muito. A fome não é mais um problema generalizado no Brasil, mas ainda persiste a situação de comunidades específicas, comunidades isoladas em insegurança alimentar. Nossa tarefa, portanto, continua, porque nós queremos que a fome acabe no Brasil, mesmo do ponto de vista amostral, mesmo para essas comunidades isoladas. Agora estamos num trabalho que não é mais um trabalho nacional, mas um trabalho para que cada uma dessas comunidades também tenha um direito à alimentação saudável. A agenda de combate à pobreza no Brasil deu um salto em 2011 com a criação do Plano Brasil Sem Miséria, com a presidenta Dilma. Com uma estratégia multidimensional, tiramos 22 milhões de brasileiros da miséria e estamos garantindo melhoria na inclusão econômica e no acesso a serviços públicos, em especial de saúde, de educação e de assistência social, além de acesso à qualificação profissional, a crédito, a um conjunto de outros direitos. E mais, como diz a nossa presidenta, cada vez que avançamos e atingimos nossos objetivos, isso é só mais um começo. O fim da fome e a miséria no Brasil é só um começo para construir um país mais justo. E acredito para cada um dos 13 países que estão aqui, e acho que esse é um exemplo e um estímulo para todos nós que sonhamos com um mundo sem fome, um mundo também mais justo. Muito obrigado a todos.
Madame la vice-présidente de la République de Gambie, mesdames et messieurs les ministres, monsieur le directeur général de la FAO, distingués délégués, mesdames et messieurs, c'est un grand honneur pour moi de prendre la parole du haut de cette tribune en qualité de représentant personnel de son Excellence Monsieur Paul Biya, président de la République du Cameroun, dans le cadre de cet événement spécial en reconnaissance des pays ayant atteint l'objectif du sommet mondial de l'alimentation. J'ai saisi cette occasion pour remercier chaleureusement le gouvernement italien pour son accueil amical et attentionné et pour toutes les facilités mises à notre disposition depuis notre arrivée. Je voudrais par ailleurs présenter à M. José Graziano da Silva, directeur général de la FAO, les remerciements de son Excellence M. Paul Biya, président de la République du Cameroun, pour l'invitation qu'il a bien voulu lui adresser pour participer à cet événement. Pour des raisons de calendrier, il n'a pas pu honorer personnellement l'invitation. Après la cérémonie du 16 juin 2013, au cours de laquelle le Cameroun a été honoré par la FAO pour avoir atteint, avec 2 ans d'avance, l'objectif numéro 1 de développement du millénaire, à savoir de réduire de moitié la proportion de la population qui souffre de sous-alimentation dans les pays en développement d'ici à 2015. Nous sommes heureux aujourd'hui aussi de participer à cette cérémonie et de figurer parmi les pays ayant atteint l'objectif du sommet mondial de l'alimentation de 1996. Selon les statistiques récentes de la FAO, la faim dans le monde recule, mais 805 millions de personnes souffrent encore de sous-alimentation chronique. C'est une situation inacceptable dans un monde d'abondance alimentaire où les gaspillages de nourriture sont de plus en plus importants. En parcourant le rapport sur l'état de l'insécurité alimentaire dans le monde en 2014, créer un environnement plus propice à la sécurité alimentaire et à la nutrition, on retient que d'importants progrès en matière d'éradication de la faim ont été accomplis par les pays en développement, qui réunissent la grande majorité des personnes sous-alimentées dans le monde. En effet, on estime que 791 millions de personnes souffraient de faim chronique dans les pays en développement en 2012-2014, soit 203 millions de personnes en moins qu'en 1990-92. Le Cameroun, pour sa part, se positionne comme un grand contributeur de ces progrès. Il faut reconnaître que si l'objectif de l'OMD est à notre portée, celui du SMA est plus difficile à réaliser. C'est en cela que le score réalisé par le Cameroun, dont le nombre de personnes sous-alimentées, selon les chiffres de la FAO, est passé de 4,7 millions en 1990-92 à 2,3 millions en 2012-2014, soit 50,4% en termes relatifs, ce qui est suffisamment éloquent. Ce score est surtout à mettre à l'actif de la performance de notre secteur agricole, dont plus de 90% des effectifs est constitué de petits producteurs opérant sur le mode de l'agriculture familiale. Conscient de ce que l'insécurité alimentaire et la malnutrition sont des problèmes complexes, le Cameroun a, à travers sa stratégie pour la croissance et l'emploi et sa stratégie de développement du secteur rural, régulièrement mise à jour, et aussi s'emploie à créer un environnement inclusif propice à la sécurité alimentaire et à la nutrition. Cet environnement se décline concrètement par un encadrement plus approprié des filières agricoles à travers l'incitation à la professionnalisation des différents acteurs, y compris la mise en place des mécanismes de coordination, mais aussi par un investissement accru dans le secteur agricole qui offre d'énormes potentialités pour l'emploi des jeunes, notamment en milieu rural. À cet égard, le programme national d'investissement agricole issu du programme détaillé de développement de l'agriculture africaine contribuera largement à la création de cet environnement. Par ailleurs, le gouvernement s'est employé à mettre en place des outils d'appui au développement du secteur agricole, à l'instar de la Banque agricole ou de la Banque des petites et moyennes entreprises. Le gouvernement du Cameroun a aussi élaboré en 2006 un document de politique d'alimentation et de nutrition dont les axes principaux mettent un accent particulier sur les quatre dimensions de la sécurité alimentaire que sont la disponibilité, l'accès, la stabilité et l'utilisation. La mise en œuvre de cette politique a contribué à l'amélioration de la situation alimentaire et nutritionnelle des populations. Pour accélérer tout ceci, depuis 2011, le président Paul Biya a engagé les Camerounais à passer à une agriculture de seconde génération, c'est-à-dire une agriculture qui se doit de se moderniser en passant par la formation des acteurs, l'utilisation des semences de haute qualité, la mécanisation, la transformation des produits du cru, l'accès à la terre qui devrait être mieux organisé, la maîtrise du financement et surtout une meilleure connaissance des marchés. Pour rester en phase de ces grandes orientations stratégiques en matière d'alimentation et de nutrition, le gouvernement fait preuve d'un engagement politique volontariste en mettant à contribution toutes les parties prenantes, y compris le secteur privé et les organisations de la société civile. La reconnaissance qui est faite aujourd'hui au Cameroun est, loin d'être un motif de satisfaction, un appel à mieux faire. Nous sommes déterminés à continuer dans la même dynamique, car le seul objectif à atteindre qui vaille la peine est, monsieur le directeur général, fin zéro. Au moment où je m'en vais terminer mon propos, je souhaite remercier la FAO, le FIDA et le PAM qui nous ont soutenus dans nos efforts en nous apportant de manière constante et soutenue l'expertise technique et les ressources nécessaires. Je vous remercie de votre attention.
Her Excellency Issatou Adjé, Vice President, Republic of the Gambia. Your Excellency Dr. José Graziano da Silva, the Director General of FAO. Excellencies, development partners, honorable ministers, all protocols observed, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, please allow me to express my heartfelt happiness for Ethiopia to be part of a group of countries that have made outstanding progress in reaching the MDG target based on FAO's most recent estimates. I would like to extend my appreciation to all who contributed to such outstanding progress. Like most African countries, the agriculture sector plays a central role in the life and livelihood of most Ethiopians, where about 12 million smallholder farming households account for an estimated 95% of all agricultural production and 85% of all employment. The agriculture sector has been the priority of Ethiopia since the early 1990s, when the agricultural development-led industrialization, which we call ADLI, strategy was adopted. Since then, quite a number of related policies, strategies, and programs have been adopted and implemented. Such programs, among others, included the Sustainable Development and Poverty Reduction Program, which provided the basis for the plan for accelerated and sustainable development to end poverty, PASDEP, implemented between 2005 to 2010, and which also adopted the goals and targets laid out in the Millennium Development Goals. Furthermore, based on the lessons learned and the country's long-term vision, the Growth and Transformation Plan, GTP, has been adopted to provide the overarching framework guiding the development agenda of the country. The GTP, which started its implementation in 2010-2011, is now approaching its final year of completion in 2014-2015. After the current GTP plan period, the dominant role of agriculture as the country's major driver of the economy will start to decline and get replaced by other sectors such as industry. But this doesn't mean that agriculture will have lesser role in the overall economic development. The next 5 years, therefore, demands a lot from us in terms of satisfying our country's quest for high agricultural productivity, since agriculture will continue to grow as its share in the overall economy declines. Excellencies, distinguished development partners, ladies and gentlemen, in the 21st century, agriculture continues to be a fundamental instrument for sustainable development and poverty reduction. In the agricultural-based countries, agriculture and its associated industries are essential to growth and to reducing mass poverty and food insecurity. Using agriculture at the basis of for economic growth requires a productive revolution in smallholder farming. Therefore, improving the productivity, profitability, and sustainability of smallholder farming is the main pathway out of poverty. Cognizant of the aforementioned fact, the government has considered agriculture as the cornerstone for the overall economic growth for Ethiopian economy. It has also recognized that increase in agriculture growth often results in increase in food production. Where this happens, there is obviously a direct improvement in food security. In a similar fashion, the African Union's decision on CADAP held in 2003 at Maputo, Mozambique, has remained the most resolute decision and expression of commitment by Africa to act on agriculture and agricultural-led development. The decision was a clear determination to put agriculture at the center of the efforts to address food security, poverty, and stagnation in socioeconomic growth. To this end, Ethiopia has indigenized CADAP and made commendable progress in its implementation. The achievements in the implementation of the national CADAP have served the country to be a model for others. Ethiopia was also the first country selected to receive funding from the World Bank administered Global Agricultural and Food Security Program, GAFS. The GAFS decision to award funds to Ethiopia demonstrated Ethiopia's high quality and comprehensive indigenized CADAP document, as well as the institutional arrangement of the Rural Economic Development and Food Security Sector Working Group, which we call RED and FS Sector Working Group, put in place based on Paris Declaration on Aid Effectiveness, principles of alignment, harmonization, and coordination. Excellencies, distinguished development partners, ladies and gentlemen, achieving food security is one of the major aspects of Ethiopia's development plans. In 2005, Ethiopia began the implementation of a major comprehensive approach to address its food security program. One of the key areas of the food security program is the Productive Safety Net Program, PSNP, in which more predictable food and cash transfers are made available to chronically food insecure households in return for labor on public work projects, in particular community-based watershed rehabilitation. These investments help to protect and build household assets, while at the same time strengthening the productive base of food insecure areas and help to reduce chronic food insecurity. The PSNP public work activities currently represent the largest sustainable land management investment in the country. As many of you are aware, that Ethiopia's economy has registered double-digit growth per annum over the past 10 years, placing Ethiopia among the top-performing economies in sub-Saharan Africa. These growth rates also exceeded the economic growth rate of 7% required to achieve MDGs. Despite these achievements, however, the government has made poverty reduction its top priorities. It has also recognized that much remains to be done in the agriculture sector to realize the vision of becoming a middle-income country defined as GDP per capita of USD 1,000 by 2025. Excellencies, distinguished development partners, ladies and gentlemen. The current state of technology adoption in crops shows that, unlike in the past decades, where our major concern was about the range of technologies not being available to or adopted by farmers, we have reached a stage where farmers are demanding and looking for proven technologies, thanks to the motivation and interest shown by all actors. Towards this end, we can confidently conclude that the acceptance of technologies will not be a problem as in the past, as long as the technologies are relevant and effective. One point of recommendation along this line may be to embark upon assessing the performance of existing technologies, particularly those which are in the scaling up process, and address those particular issues that need further attention. In this connection, we all have started witnessing some phenomena induced by global warming and climate change which have challenged the performance of efficiency of some of our technologies. The performance of the livestock sector is marked with opportunities as well as challenges. On the opportunity side, there is a growing demand for livestock and livestock products in country and abroad. However, the challenges need to be overcome if growth in the livestock sector is to be achieved and smallholder producers and pastoralists are to take advantage of the situation. These weaknesses, among others, include problems in the value chain, inefficiencies in production and productivity, market uncertainties, weak infrastructure, inadequate veterinary service, and stringent requirements for accessing international markets. In this regard, the Ethiopian government has taken a number of steps to overcome this challenge and meet the goals and objectives of the Growth and Transformation Plan. Recently, it has developed a livestock master plan that will serve as a roadmap for the coming 15 years. The preparation of this master plan is believed to be instrumental in revitalizing and enhancing the performance of the livestock sector in the country. Excellencies, distinguished development partners, ladies and gentlemen, Ethiopia aspires to achieve middle-income status while following green economic development paths. In the realization of this noble idea, the Ministry of Agriculture, as one of the leading organizations responsible for overseeing agriculture development at the federal level, is currently implementing a wide range of programs. The Ministry has developed a climate-smart agriculture strategy, and currently its implementation is on progress to respond to the greatest social, economic, and environmental challenges of our time. This strategy is in line with Ethiopia's Climate Resilient Green Economy, CRGE, strategy pursued by the Ethiopian government. The implementation of Sustainable Land Management Program, SLMP, is another area where our ministry is engaged with its complementary initiative of Ethiopian Strategic Investment Framework. This has been developed with the purpose of overcoming the bottlenecks and enhancing the scaling up of best land management practices. Our ministry also implements a countrywide drought resilience and sustainability initiative, which aims at improving livelihood and enhancing resilience of drought-prone communities in pastoral and agro-pastoral areas of the country. Furthermore, we are currently implementing the agricultural growth program, aiming at the promotion of agricultural growth in the country and have been designed to help farmers take the opportunity for expanded demand for food and agricultural commodities at national and global markets. Excellencies, distinguished development partners, ladies and gentlemen, increasing productivity in smallholder agriculture is the top priority of Ethiopian government. However, we believe that productivity enhancement must be complemented by efforts to help farmers graduate from subsistence farming to commercial status, practicing farming as a business, and to adopt more sustainable natural resource management practices to arrest and reverse natural resource degradation. Hence, the concept of producing more, selling more, nurturing the environment, eliminating hunger, and protecting the vulnerable against shocks are embodied in various national policy instruments and are also expressed in terms of main themes of the agriculture sector policy investment framework. At this juncture, I would like to witness to you that the Ethiopian government will continue its commitment to eradicate hunger and poverty. In this regard, we are also optimistic that our development partners will be committed to support our development endeavor in the foreseeable future. Last but not least, please once again allow me to thank all who contributed to the success achieved so far. My heartfelt gratitude goes to millions of men and women, smallholder farmers, pastoralists, and agro-pastoralists who have patriotically fought to end poverty in their beloved country. My special thanks also go to development partners, including both bilateral and multilateral international organizations, for their unreserved support to Ethiopia's development. Particularly, I would like to extend my appreciation for FAO for taking the lead initiation in organizing such special event. With our united efforts, we can make Ethiopia a very prosperous country in the foreseeable future. Thank you for your attention.
Excellence, Madame Aja Issatou Njie Saidi, vice-présidente de la République de Gambie. Excellence, Mesdames et Messieurs les ministres et chers collègues, Monsieur le directeur général de la FAO, José Graziano da Silva, distingués délégués, Mesdames et Messieurs, le président de la République gabonaise, chef de l'État, Son Excellence Ali Bongo Ondimba, n'a pu se joindre à nous pour des raisons de calendrier diplomatique. Toutefois, il m'a fait l'insigne honneur de le représenter à cette importante cérémonie. Il tient par ma voix à vous exprimer ses regrets les plus sincères, tout en souhaitant plein succès à notre cérémonie. Excellences, Mesdames et Messieurs, nous sommes ici réunis ce jour à l'initiative du directeur général de la FAO pour, je cite, « saluer les progrès exceptionnels réalisés dans la lutte contre la faim ». Fin de citation. Notre présence massive en cette salle, un dimanche après-midi, est à la mesure de l'intérêt que revêt cette initiative qui mérite, à juste titre, d'être saluée, d'autant qu'elle représente pour nous à la fois une marque de reconnaissance pour les efforts consentis dans la lutte contre la faim et un motif d'encouragement à poursuivre dans cette voie pour le bien-être de nos populations. C'est donc ici le lieu, au nom du président de la République gabonaise, au nom de la délégation qui m'accompagne et au mien propre, d'adresser mes vifs remerciements à Monsieur le directeur général de la FAO qui a bien voulu organiser cette cérémonie. Je voudrais aussi vous exprimer ma gratitude pour le choix porté sur mon pays dont les succès dans la lutte contre la faim sont solennellement reconnus en cette circonstance spéciale. Excellences, mesdames et messieurs, l'éradication de la faim dans le monde est un défi de tous les temps qui exige de tous, acteurs étatiques et gouvernementaux, sociétés civiles et acteurs de la chaîne alimentaire, un véritable sursaut de solidarité, de partenariat et surtout de collaboration permanente pour favoriser, mutualiser les moyens et partager les bonnes pratiques. Pour sa part, le Gabon s'est employé depuis quelques années à améliorer sa situation nutritionnelle grâce à la volonté politique du président de la République, chef de l'État, qui a inscrit son action dans l'amélioration des conditions de vie des populations. Ainsi, la prévalence de la sous-alimentation est passée de 11,7% au cours des années 90 à 92 pour se situer aujourd'hui à 3,7%. Pour parvenir à ces résultats, il a fallu mettre en œuvre des politiques visant à accroître l'offre alimentaire, augmenter les revenus des ménages, notamment les revenus des ménages les plus pauvres, et contenir l'évolution des prix des produits de première nécessité, dont les produits alimentaires, à des niveaux acceptables pour les populations les plus vulnérables. Ainsi, le gouvernement s'est engagé dans un programme de construction des infrastructures routières qui a d'une part contribué à faciliter les échanges entre les régions productrices du pays et les marchés, d'autre part rendu disponibles les productions en provenance des pays voisins grâce à un aménagement prioritaire des corridors reliant les frontières nord et sud aux centres urbains. Au plan institutionnel, la création de l'Agence gabonaise de sécurité alimentaire a permis d'accentuer les contrôles et d'améliorer la qualité des aliments grâce à la mise en œuvre des politiques publiques en matière de sécurité sanitaire des aliments et de sécurité phytosanitaire. Des mesures ont également été prises pour développer des projets de production de denrées agricoles de base comme la banane, le manioc, mais aussi les cultures légumières. Excellences, mesdames et messieurs, au Gabon, des progrès perceptibles ont été réalisés dans le domaine de la lutte contre la faim. Cependant, des actions fortes doivent être poursuivies afin d'accroître l'offre alimentaire. Ainsi, le gouvernement gabonais, pour améliorer davantage la sécurité alimentaire et nutritionnelle des populations, poursuit ses efforts, notamment dans les domaines suivants: la sécurisation foncière des exploitations agricoles, le renforcement des infrastructures d'accès aux sites de production agricole, l'identification des solutions pour le financement de l'agriculture, la formation des petits agriculteurs, la mécanisation, la transformation des produits, l'implantation d'usines d'engrais, les solutions aux conflits homme-faune, en particulier les conflits agriculteurs-faune, l'évaluation des ressources halieutiques et la lutte contre la pêche illégale. En résumé, tout ceci vise l'accroissement de la production agricole et son accessibilité aux populations qui en ont le plus besoin. Excellences, mesdames et messieurs, notre responsabilité collective commande un exceptionnel élan de solidarité pour éliminer à la racine les problèmes de malnutrition sur toute la planète. Je vous remercie pour votre attention.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على النبي الكريم. Excellence, Madame la Vice-Présidente de la Gambie. Excellence, Monsieur le Ministre et Chef de Délégation. Monsieur le Directeur Général de la FAO, José Graziano da Silva. Mesdames, Messieurs. Son Excellence, Monsieur Mohamed Abdelaziz, Président de la République islamique de Mauritanie, m'a fait l'insigne honneur de vous transmettre ses amitiés et ses sentiments de respect et de considération. Son Excellence m'a également fait l'honneur de vous présenter ses regrets de ne pouvoir honorer l'aimable invitation que vous lui avez adressée afin d'assister à cette manifestation spéciale organisée par notre honorable institution. Cet important événement coïncide avec la célébration le 28 novembre de l'indépendance nationale de notre pays. Enfin, Son Excellence m'a chargé de vous dire combien il est sensible à l'hommage rendu par la FAO à l'endroit de la Mauritanie et à l'endroit d'autres pays en reconnaissance de leurs efforts en matière de lutte contre la faim. Il vous en remercie infiniment. Excellences, Mesdames, Messieurs, honorables invités, cette reconnaissance n'est pas le fait du hasard, car Son Excellence, Monsieur le Président de la République, depuis son accession à la tête de l'État, au terme des élections présidentielles de 2009, s'est fixé comme ultime objectif la lutte contre la faim et la pauvreté, en parfaite harmonie avec les objectifs du millénaire pour le développement. Le troisième plan d'action du cadre stratégique de lutte contre la pauvreté 2011-2015 en est une parfaite illustration. Conformément à ce cadre, une stratégie nationale de sécurité alimentaire assortie d'un plan national d'investissement agricole et de sécurité alimentaire a été élaboré en 2012 et est opérationnel. Ce dispositif a été renforcé par l'adoption d'une stratégie sectorielle de développement rural et d'une loi d'orientation agro-pastorale qui fixe les objectifs dans ce domaine pour le court, le moyen et le long terme. Grâce à la mise en œuvre de ces différentes stratégies, des avancées significatives ont été réalisées en termes d'atteinte des objectifs du millénaire, en particulier ceux relatifs à la faim et à la pauvreté. Excellences, Monsieur le chef de délégation, Monsieur le directeur général, Mesdames et Messieurs, permettez-moi de rappeler brièvement les principaux acquis relatifs aux OMD. Sous le chapitre de la réduction de l'extrême pauvreté et de la faim, la cible INA des OMD se fixe comme objectif de réduire de moitié, entre 1990 et 2015, la proportion de la population dont le revenu est inférieur à 1 dollar par jour. Le taux de pauvreté s'élevait en 2008 à 42%, contre 46,7% en 2004 et 56,6% en 1990, soit une réduction de 0,8 points par an sur la première période, contre 1 point en moyenne sur la période 2004-2008. Cette tendance à l'amélioration sera maintenue sous le double effet d'une amélioration de la croissance, 4,8% en moyenne sur la période 2005-2009 et 6,2% en moyenne sur la période 2010-2014 et de son ancrage dans la sphère des pauvres. Il importe également, dans ce cadre, de noter que les actions gouvernementales menées depuis 2009, les programmes, les projets, les stratégies, les politiques ont eu des effets positifs et contribueront à réduire sensiblement la pauvreté. L'enquête sur les conditions de vie des ménages prévue en 2015 confirmera l'ampleur de cette amélioration. La cible INB, assurer le plein emploi et la possibilité pour chacun, y compris les jeunes et les femmes, de trouver un travail décent et productif. Selon les données de l'enquête emploi du BIT, Bureau international du travail, réalisée en 2012, le taux de chômage se situe autour de 10%, largement inférieur au taux ciblé en 2015, alors que ce taux était de l'ordre de 31% selon l'enquête sur les conditions de vie des ménages de 2008. Cette amélioration, qui devrait se poursuivre, découle des actions entreprises depuis 2009 par le gouvernement, notamment le développement des programmes, outils pédagogiques et supports didactiques, le renforcement du niveau de qualification du personnel enseignant, la création d'établissements de formation technique, la régularisation du marché du travail, les programmes d'insertion, etc. Enfin, la cible INSEE, réduire de moitié entre 1990 et 2015 la proportion de la population qui souffre de faim. Concernant spécialement la proportion des enfants de moins de 5 ans représentant une insuffisance pondérale, des avancées importantes ont été constatées. De 47% situation de référence en 90, cette proportion a baissé pour s'établir à 24,4% selon les résultats de l'enquête MIC 2011, ce qui lui confère un niveau proche de la cible 2015, soit 23,5%. Malgré ces avancées en matière de lutte contre la faim et l'insécurité alimentaire, plusieurs défis restent à adresser. Tout d'abord, l'influence des aléas climatiques sur l'agriculture et son corollaire sur la sécheresse, la dégradation des ressources naturelles et l'insuffisance de leur gestion, le dysfonctionnement des systèmes de vulgarisation et de formation et du conseil agricole, la faiblesse ou les limites du système de gestion du foncier agricole. Excellences, Monsieur le chef de délégation, Monsieur le directeur général, Mesdames, Messieurs, face à ces défis, le gouvernement, sous la conduite de son Excellence Monsieur le Président de la République, Mohamed Abdelaziz, est résolument déterminé à éradiquer la pauvreté, la faim et la malnutrition, surtout auprès des couches de la population les plus vulnérables. L'hommage rendu aujourd'hui à notre pays par la FAO est un témoignage on ne peut plus éloquent qui nous réconforte dans cette voie et nous exhorte à davantage de travail et de persévérance afin d'éliminer ces fléaux qui constituent un véritable blocage au développement et au bien-être de nos populations. Je vous remercie.
Señor José Graciano da Silva, director general de la FAO, vicepresidenta, distinguidos representantes de los países que junto con México reciben un reconocimiento por haber alcanzado las metas del primer objetivo de desarrollo del milenio y de la Cumbre Mundial de Alimentación. Señoras y señores, señor embajador de México en Italia. Muy buenas tardes, tengan todos. Es para mí un gran honor recibir a nombre del Gobierno de México, que liderea el presidente Enrique Peña Nieto, este importante reconocimiento que le otorga la Organización de las Naciones Unidas para la Alimentación y la Agricultura por haber alcanzado anticipadamente la meta del primer objetivo de desarrollo del milenio relativa a reducir a la mitad la proporción de personas que padecen hambre. La distinción que recibe hoy México no solo corresponde a los esfuerzos realizados desde el ámbito gubernamental. es también un reconocimiento a la participación de todos los mexicanos y mexicanas, porque gobierno y sociedad trabajan en abatir el hambre. El día de hoy México se suma a los países que han logrado progresos en la lucha contra el hambre. En esto la FAO, cuyo mandato es lograr un mundo libre de hambre y malnutrición, ha desempeñado un importante apoyo en los esfuerzos de los países porque en pleno siglo XXI, con tantos avances tecnológicos, donde la economía global está generando masas de prosperidad sin precedente, todavía más de 900 millones de personas no pueden alimentarse de manera digna y suficiente. Los Objetivos de Desarrollo del Milenio han permitido a los gobiernos fijar prioridades y orientar sus políticas hacia una base común de desarrollo compartida por todas las naciones. Destaca también la iniciativa Hambre Cero, impulsada por el secretario general de las Naciones Unidas, Ban Ki-moon, a la que con entusiasmo se ha sumado también el Gobierno de México. Entendemos y compartimos la justeza de los objetivos convenidos internacionalmente en el marco de las Naciones Unidas para luchar contra el hambre y lograr la seguridad alimentaria y nutricional, porque existe una clara convergencia entre los esfuerzos que México realiza en esta materia. La mejor forma de demostrar su compromiso ha sido implementando una cruzada nacional contra el hambre y un programa nacional sin hambre, que hoy rigen los esfuerzos de todos los mexicanos. Los avances alcanzados en materia de alimentación por mi país se corresponden con la estrategia del gobierno para lograr un México incluyente. Para ello, implementa desde diciembre del 2012 una política social de nueva generación que busca hacer efectivos los derechos sociales y humanos consagrados en la Constitución Política de los Estados Unidos Mexicanos y en los tratados internacionales suscritos por mi país. Permítanme transmitirles un cordial saludo de la Secretaria de Desarrollo Social, Rosario Robles Berlanga, a quien tengo el honor de representar y a quien quien es la responsable de coordinar la política social y la Cruzada Nacional contra el Hambre. En el contexto de la nueva política social, hemos rediseñado el programa Oportunidades, que algunos de ustedes así lo ubican, hoy denominado Prospera, para fortalecer las capacidades de acceso de las familias más pobres a servicios de educación, salud y nutrición. Prospera, programa de transferencias económicas condicionadas, llega a 6.1 millones de familias, 35 millones de mexicanos, y va más allá de las transferencias monetarias condicionadas para construir auténticos puentes de salida de la pobreza. Promueve la inclusión productiva y la inclusión laboral, además de la inclusión financiera en su nuevo rediseño. Esto sucede en un país que ha implementado en los últimos años un gobierno donde se ha construido y se han modificado y se transforman a través de 11 reformas estructurales, las cuales tendrán un impacto positivo en el crecimiento económico y la generación de empleos, factores fundamentales para superar la pobreza cuando se combina con política social enfocándose a la inclusión. Las aspiraciones del gobierno del presidente Enrique Peña Nieto es que los mexicanos que más lo necesitan tengan acceso a sus derechos, a la alimentación, a la educación, a la salud, a la seguridad social, a la vivienda digna y con servicios, con un piso social mínimo para superar la pobreza y la exclusión. Con esta visión se instrumenta la Cruzada Nacional contra el Hambre, que atenderá a cerca de 7 millones de mexicanos a través de acciones con un enfoque integral y visión territorial, una estrecha coordinación interinstitucional y con los tres órdenes de gobierno, y la más amplia participación de la comunidad a través de 60 mil comités que hacen que la participación sea base fundamental de esta estrategia. A un año de la puesta en marcha de la cruzada, más de 3 millones de mexicanos ya ejercen de mejor manera su derecho a la alimentación. En este año cerraremos con 5.5 millones de mexicanos atendidos para llegar en el próximo año a la totalidad de la población objetivo. La cruzada rompe con el mito de que no hay capacidad productiva entre los más pobres y promueve el esfuerzo de los pequeños agricultores y las propias familias para que generen sus alimentos. La Cruzada contra el Hambre de México contempla la participación de la sociedad civil y del sector privado. Ha logrado una buena interacción entre el gobierno nacional y los gobiernos estatales. Cuenta con recursos suficientes a nivel federal y tiene el firme compromiso político del presidente Enrique Peña Nieto. El hambre es no solo una clara violación a los derechos humanos y sociales de quienes la sufren, es además un fenómeno que pone en riesgo la gobernabilidad y la construcción de una democracia y paz duraderas. La desigualdad es un fenómeno que persiste en casi todos los países del mundo. En particular, y de acuerdo a la CEPAL, América Latina es la región más desigual. Hoy, por cierto, en México existen dos regiones, una que se inserta en la economía global con crecientes índices de ingreso y desarrollo y bienestar, y otra más pobre con rezagos ancestrales que no han podido resolverse por generaciones. Por ello, en días recientes, el presidente Enrique Peña Nieto propuso a la nación una estrategia para impulsar el crecimiento de las regiones del país que presentan mayores rezagos en materia de desarrollo social y económico. Hoy en día, gobierno y sociedad juntos estamos construyendo el México incluyente que garantice el ejercicio efectivo de los derechos sociales de todos los mexicanos, que conecta al capital humano con las oportunidades de generar la economía en el marco de una nueva productividad social, que disminuye las brechas de desigualdad y que promueve la más amplia participación social en las políticas públicas como factor de cohesión y ciudadanía. Finalmente, destaco la importancia de la cooperación de la FAO bajo las diversas modalidades y en particular la cooperación Sur-Sur para impulsar el logro de los Objetivos de Desarrollo del Milenio y la construcción de la Agenda Post-Desarrollo 2015. Cierro agradeciendo a nombre del Gobierno de México y a nombre del presidente Enrique Peña Nieto un reconocimiento hacia la organización que hoy nos alberga, la cual estimula nuestro trabajo con la convicción de que sí es posible ganar la batalla contra el hambre y la malnutrición. Señoras y señores, muchas gracias. A la FAO, nuestro eterno agradecimiento.
Her Excellency, the Vice President of the Republic of the Gambia, the Honorable Director General Jose Graciano da Silva of the FAO, the Honorable Deputy Director General Daniel Gustafsson of the FAO, Excellencies, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, I am most pleased to join you here today at this special event in recognition of the significant progress attained by 13 countries, including the Philippines, to end hunger and guarantee food security for their collective hundreds of millions of people. We are all committed to a common goal of improving the welfare and lives of our peoples, that each of us can take our destined and rightful places among the great peoples of the world, positively contributing to the progress and betterment of the human condition and fulfilling our rightful roles as custodians and caretakers of this fragile planet, the environment, and its bequeathed natural treasures. I would not repeat nor enumerate the persisting grim statistics. They are all too obvious in constantly reminding us all that much more needs to be done. Much, much more needs to be done. The members we recognize today with their signal accomplishments all realize too well that not only do we need to sustain what we have attained, the other basic needs of our peoples need to be addressed as well. Proper nutrition and well-being, clothing and housing, education, decent jobs and livelihood, protection of human, civil, and political rights, administration of justice, among other important dimensions that we all aspire for as the basic pillars of the modern human and social condition. Our gathering here is most opportune as it takes place on the heels of the second International Conference on Nutrition, held less than 2 weeks ago in this same building. The closing event of the International Year of Family Farming in the Philippines, 2 days ago, and the eve of the 150th session of the FAO Council meeting this week. At ICN2, we reaffirm our commitment to the right of our peoples to have access to safe and nutritious food, and together with the fundamental right to be free from hunger. Food security, ladies and gentlemen, is virtually useless if it does not nourish the human body via nutrition, proper nutrition. At the closing event of the IYFF, we all endorse the legacy document that will ensure the continuity of the International Year of Family Farming objectives and activities beyond 2014, as the sustained participation of all is crucial to achieving and sustaining all-inclusive food and nutrition security, the most basic platform for human and social development. Excellencies, today's recognition by the FAO of the progress made by the Philippines, together with 12 other countries, to end hunger and guarantee food security is very much appreciated and truly humbling for us. For us, it is an acknowledgement of our country's policies towards sustainable development that places people first and no one is left behind. The Philippines will continue to pursue these set goals even in the face of moving targets and challenges, a still fast-growing population, resilience and adaptation to climate change impacts which our country did not cause, the vagaries and distortions that persist in the international markets for agricultural commodities. Likewise, in the face of the increasing scarcity of natural resources such as land and water, the degradation of agricultural soil resources that we all in FAO will specifically address next year, the Philippines considers its people not as the subject of grim statistics that indicate intractable problems, but as our country's limitless resource and means to prevail over all of these challenges. The nurturing of our people, therefore, in an environment free of hunger, with safe and nutritious food that feeds the body and nurtures the Filipino soul, the nurture and development of that gray matter in between the ears of our people with education, culture, and technology in an environment of freedom from all fears is the cornerstone of our governance philosophy and action. Excellencies, the accomplishments and presence here today of the members we recognize have been made more possible with the collaboration and help of our partners in development, most notably the FAO, for whom my country offers its profuse thanks and appreciation. Let me also extend my country's grateful thanks to FAO and other partners and members for their timely and massive humanitarian and rehabilitation assistance in the wake of Typhoon Haiyan last year, the strongest and the most destructive to make landfall in recorded history. Our farmers, as of now, are back in their fields. Our fishers are back on their boats to harvest many times over the bounty of their labors. With your help, we are not only back on our feet, our growth and development targets are still on course. Maraming salamat po. A million and more thanks to all of you.